Blog Talk Radio.
Now
number 5, better known to you as Week 5 in the National Football League as we roll on. A lot of crazy things going on in the world of sports. How about college football yesterday? How about Major League Baseball as the playoffs roll on? NCAA college basketball turning the sports world upside down with upsets yesterday. Let's get right into the fun stuff. We're going to run down your scores from the top 25 in college football. You're going to be stunned when you get to the top 10 as to exactly what happened yesterday. And I'll tell you to some degree what this might mean to the first iteration of the college football playoffs. All right, top 25 down. We start with number 23, Kansas State, taking care of Texas Tech University, 45-13. ECU, a 45-24 winner over SMU because everyone beats SMU. Number 21, Oklahoma State, takes care of ISU, 37-20. OSU, I'm leaving. That's Oklahoma. Well, that's not Oklahoma State. That must be Ohio State. 52-24 over Maryland. That's a bit of a surprise. Well, maybe not. Ohio State's had some issues, but they're getting it together. Number 18, BYU loses to USU, 35-20. Number 17, Wisconsin loses to Northwestern, 20-14. ASU, 38-34, stunning USC. Georgia holds its serve at number 13, beating Vandy 44-17. This is where things get a little dicey, guys. Number 19, Nebraska loses to number 10, Michigan State. That's almost expected, 27-22. Good game nonetheless. Number 9, Notre Dame holds on against number 14, Stanford, 17-14. Number 8, UCLA, 28, losing to Utah, who puts up 30 on them. Utah, 30-28, win over UCLA. Number 7, Baylor, 28-7, win over Texas. Number 12, Mississippi State shocks Texas A&M. Number 6, 48-31. Number 5, Auburn holds serve at 41-7 over LSU. Number 25, TCU upsets Oklahoma, 37-33. That is the number 25 seed, beating the number 4 seed. Number 11, Mississippi shocks number 3, Alabama, 23-17. Number 2, Oregon loses to Arizona, 31-24. And number 1, Florida State holding on, blowing out Wake Forest, 43-3. So number 2, number 3, number 4 all have lost. You couldn't have picked a crazier weekend to have all three lose at the same weekend. So you're going to have a major shuffle effect now in the standings for this playoff run. We already said at the beginning of the season we didn't expect anyone to be undefeated. We expected that. No one was going to be undefeated coming into this playoff season. We did not expect it to happen this early, and with some of the teams that we see people falling to. I don't know how good TCU is, but obviously they're better than we anticipated, beating number 4 Oklahoma. I did not see Mississippi State coming in. I mean, I know they're number 11 and putting a 48er up on Texas A&M. Didn't see that coming. Did not see Utah putting a 30 spot on UCLA, taking care of business there. Did not see that coming. Suffice to say, who benefits from this? Well, let's keep it simple. Auburn, big-time jump coming up. After a 41-7 drubbing over LSU, they're going to move up significantly. They may easily be sitting at number 2 by the end of today. I think everyone else just kind of falls in behind them. Oregon will probably fall to the 3-4 range. I don't see any major jumps to 3 from any of the obscure teams. I mean, 5 Auburn maybe goes to, if they don't go to 2, they'll go to 3. Texas A&M lost their 6. Baylor at 7. Could they jump to 4 and get into the mix? Certainly. UCLA losing, so they're out of the way. Notre Dame at the 9 seed, could they jump all the way into the top 5? Certainly it's possible, but I got a feeling you're not going to see Alabama or Oregon fall too terribly far. Alabama at least lost to a ranked team. Oregon lost to Arizona, which was unranked. That's going to look pretty bad for those guys. So we've got a major league shuffle going on. So what's that mean for college sports and the standings? Man, I really honestly can tell you point blank to your face, I don't know. I honestly do not know. I can tell you this. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747 if you want to call the show and have some dialogue about what is absolutely crazy, 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 crazy sports world this weekend. On the more serious note, Michael Phelps, his DUI this past week, now he's going to enter a program. I know he said this is going to be his last Olympics, the last run, but, you know, the most heralded Olympian in the history of the sports, is about to be, unfortunately, an afterthought in society if he can't get his head out of his posterior. And I like this kid. I really do. I just think he gets surrounded by some of the wrong people and just makes some really porously bad decisions. And before you know it, it's just too late. It just is. We saw a couple of years ago the incident where he was smoking weed. Now the DUI. This is the second DUI, I believe, in a couple of years. Come on, man. We love you. And I need my heroes to come back and get their act together. I really do. I'm getting tired of seeing my heroes, my Olympic heroes, my football heroes, whatever. Yeah, which is an awfully good segue into me telling you some information about a new segment we're going to be starting here at some point, even today, and moving forward. Dr. Vicky Nunu is going to be joining us every week with a little bit of insight into, you know, persons of interest and people who were part of our sports landscape at some point, and maybe kind of a where are they now segment or what's happening with them. We're going to transcend all sports, you know, soccer. We'll get all the landscapes in, cricket if we need to, along with our big three, football, basketball, baseball. We'll make sure we look and scan, as it panning the globes, as they usually say at ABC, and find all those great stories of what's going on in the world outside just the game. You know, the big war and big push over concussions, the big push with domestic violence and personal conduct. All these things are critical into our day-to-day, and they are literally a microcosm of, if you will, a snapshot of the world we live in. They used to call high blood pressure the deadly killer, the silent deadly killer. I'm here to tell you now that domestic violence could be put into that same category. It's a shame that we've gotten to where we've gotten to in this society. It's a shame that we can't feel comfortable enough to actually talk about it, whether it's a national show, a syndicated show, or any platform, because it's who we are. It's what we've become, sad as it may seem. 14 past the hour. I'm looking at these scores from college football, and I'm still stunned. I really am. But why should that be done? Be any more undone than the Major League Baseball playoff series? Last night we saw the Giants overcome the Nationals in 18 innings. 18 innings of baseball. I love baseball as a game, and I think there should be a handle on how you determine it. Now, many purists will say, hey, you just keep playing until you get a winner. 18 innings, you played the equivalent of two games. You exhausted both pitching staffs, both bullpens, and you got to come back in, maybe, if not today, another day, tomorrow, and do it all over again. And players will just adjust. But the quality of the game starts to diminish, and I don't want to get on my platform here. The reality is quality of the game diminishes when they've been taxed like this. At some point, baseball has to make up its mind that when is it realistically hindering to the game to simply say, let's halt the game here, then we'll get a good night's sleep and come back tomorrow with fresh legs, fresh eyes, and a fresh set of arms and continue and see who actually can win this game, you know, with some strategy as opposed to just attrition. Because that's what last night was. It was a battle of attrition. And as someone who's anxious to see the Nationals kind of get off the schneid here, I'm not surprised by them being down 2-0 to the Giants. The Giants are a very good team. They've won two out of the last four World Series, so certainly they are capable of taking the Nats out. But the Nats, again, the best team in baseball, the best team in the East, and certainly, if I didn't know any better, I'd say they simply just ran out of arms last night. That's certainly what it felt like after 18 innings of baseball. So the other series going on, Baltimore has a 2-0 lead over Detroit, and they're just simply outplaying the Tigers right now. The Kansas City Royals, the nation's babies, the nation's darlings, are up 2-0 on the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels, led by Albert Pujols. I'm stunned by the current status at 2-0, but then again, when Albert Pujols does wake up, that may be lead may not be too safe, suffice to say. The Dodgers and the Cardinals tied at 1, thanks to Matt Kemp's heroics last night. That series tied at 1, and of course the Giants again lead the Nats 2-0 as baseball rolls on in its postseason platform. If you get a chance to get up to a game, take advantage of it. Playoff baseball is by far the best baseball you can get involved in, all right? All right. For the fantasy lovers in here, we're going to get fantasy. We got all this stuff out of the way early, all right? Because we want to have some fun. We want to have some dialogue again. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 to join the on-air broadcast with yours truly, Vinny Moore. Come on, talk to me. Anyway. We paying a bill now? Let's do that. Let's pay a bill now. We've got some use of the word we've got to get to. We got some fun things. Back in a second.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Everybody knows that, Parker.
Well, did you know auctioneers make bad grocery store clerks?
It'll be $23.50. Now $75, $23.75. Hold on, hey, to get down $23.75, $24. Hey, $24, $24.25, quarter, now half, $24.50, $75, $25. Now quarter, hey, $26.25. Hold on, hey, to get down $20. You want to do it? $5.25. Sold to the man in the khaki jacket.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Get that in your psyche. All right, let's talk about your fantasy love. For those of you playing fantasy football, you should be in the midst of the thickness of your season right now. Hopefully you're competing and competing well. Let's get down your top 10 and position as we do every single week. If you've got these guys, just start them. If you don't have them, just hope you're not playing against them. It's that simple. And the tight ends we started with this week in fantasy, we got two number 10s, so take your pick. Heath Miller out of Pittsburgh. Travis Kelce, Kansas City. People are loving him right now. Number 9, Antonio Gates. Number 8, Jordan Cameron. Number 7, Greg Olsen. Number 6, Delanie Walker in Tennessee. Number 5, Larry Donald with the New York Giants. Number 4, Rob Gronkowski. Number 3, Martellus Bennett, Chicago. Number 2, Julius Thomas in Denver. And number 1, as often is the case, Jimmy Graham out of the New Orleans Saints, sitting there in the number 1 spot in the tight end love. So, from there, we go to your kickers. Why? Because, well, we're giving you everything you need, all right? We'll help you guys out this weekend. We don't want you to struggle, all right? These rankings done by the experts, not yours truly. I am just a mouthpiece, all right? But for those of you who know my record in fantasy, you might want to consider me an expert, but I don't typically call myself that. All right. What's going on? We're wigging out. All right, top 10 kickers. Number 10 this week, Phil Dawson. That's in San Francisco. Number 9, Sean Swisham in Pittsburgh. Number 8, Greg Zuerlein in St. Louis. That kid's got a leg. Number 8, let's back up. Zuerlein is number 8. Steven Gaskowski is number 7. Number 6, Steven Hauschka. Love seeing that name. Number 5, Justin Tucker. Number 5. Number 4, Adam Vinatieri. Number 3, Danny Bailey. That's in Dallas. Number 2, Cody Parkey in Philadelphia. That's just an awkward name. Anyway, sorry, parents of Cody Parkey. Anyway, number 1 this week, Nick Novak, San Diego. They get the Jets. Those are your kickers. Again, if you've got them, start them. If you don't have them, let's just hope you're not playing against them. All right. We've done your tight ends. I love the fact that Martellus Bennett is now in the top 5 in tight ends, because Jay Cutler and Martellus Bennett are having an absolute season together. They really are. The Bears need to win more football games, but they are truly having a great season. All right. To the defenses now. And our page is not refreshing as well as it should. Come on, guys. All right. Here we go. Top 10 defenses today. Number 10, Kansas City. You got to love that. What's this? Turn that off. There you go. Number 10, Kansas City. Number 9, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 8, the Denver Broncos. Number 7, the Houston Texans. Number 6, the Detroit Lions. Number 5, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 4, the San Francisco 49ers. Number 3, the San Diego Superchargers. Number 2, the Cincinnati Bengals. And number 1, again, the Seattle Seahawks. That's all magic room because they get the Redskins in Washington. And the Redskins, without a lot of players healthy right now, just going through a big transition, trying to get Kirk Cousins acclimated, it's going to be a rough with Seattle coming to town. So there's your top 10 defenses. Now, for those of you who are used to hearing the Chicago name touted in terms of a top 10 defense, come on now. Chicago has not been able to stop the run in a long time, and that's what Carolina's going to do to them today. But for those of you who are just curious, Chicago comes in number 18 this week, right alongside New Orleans. Both those defenses have truly, truly simply been struggling, all right? To your wide receiver. I got to find that song again. Was that Michael Cooper back in the day? Wide receiver. That was a nice little song. Anyway, so your wide receivers today look a little like this. That was almost comical. I think I almost had a gag there. I'm going to have to work on that one. I'm going to have to work on that because I almost had one there. Fantasy Now Love Show speaks to the love for Michael Crabtree. And what's going on with our page again, guys? What's going on? Is this courtesy of our boys? All right. We're gonna get some feedback. We are getting feedback. What is this? All right, here we go. Wide receiver number 10. Hey, Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. Number 10 is me. Number 9, Jeremy Maclin in Philly. Number 8, Steve Smith in Baltimore. Number 7, Brandon Marshall in Chicago. Number 6, A.J. Green in Cincinnati. Number 5, Dez Bryant in Dallas. Number 4, Demaryius Thomas in Denver. Number 3, Calvin Johnson out of Detroit. Number 2, Julio Jones in Atlanta. And number 1 this week, Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. Something is in the water. Antonio Brown, number 1? Huh. Isn't that interesting? Brandon Marshall of the Bears. You like Alshon Jeffrey. Emmanuel Sanders is, of course, down out in Denver. Comes in number 11. Not that that's a big deal. Kelvin Benjamin, who's been a big star for the Panthers, comes in at number 12. But I see two Chicago Bears, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. And that looks that may bode well for the Bears today. In the meantime, we look forward to some optimism for Pittsburgh as well as they try to get their season together. All right. To your running backs. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I realize many of you go to the windows and make your decisions on this. And I've told this, I'll tell you again, y'all need to stop doing that. But since some of you just want to be hard-headed and can't figure it out, that's entirely on you, okay? All right, so your running backs. We expect to see some standard fare. We expect to see a Frank Gore and maybe a Le'Veon Bell, but let's see. All right, here we go. Number 10, Zach Stacy out of St. Louis. Number 9, LeSean McCoy. Oh, I see that. Thank you very much. Number 9, LeSean McCoy. Number 8, Alfred Morris, the Skins. Number 7, Jamal Charles in Kansas City. Number 6, Giovanni Bernard, Cincinnati. Number 5, Matt Forte, Carolina. Hit a hard time stopping the run. Number 4, Rashad Jennings. Number 3, Marshawn Lynch. Number 2, Le'Veon Bell at Pittsburgh. Again, they get Jacksonville today. And number 1, DeMarco Murray. That is truly matchup-driven as DeMarco Murray, I believe he's leading the league in rushing, gets a Houston defense that has been known to be porous. So there's your top 10 running backs. Feel free to play this back in terms of a podcast. You can download this episode once this show concludes in about 35 minutes. Top quarterbacks. The guy who touches the ball the most. Let's see. I see now I'm in love with Ben Roethlisberger. Why am I not surprised by that? I expect to see Ben and Drew Brees at the top of this list. Not a lot of people loving the matchup. Sweet. All right. Here we go. Top 10 quarterbacks this week. Number 10, Nick Foles in Philadelphia. Oh, we got two 10s. Number 10, Colin Kaepernick in the San Francisco 49ers. Number 9, Jay Cutler. And that's it, guys. Let's see if we can shut that down, please. Okay, that's just weird. All right. Number 9, Jay Cutler of the Bears. Number 8, Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Number 7, Matt Ryan. Number 6, Matthew Stafford. Number 5, Russell Wilson, number 4, Phillip Rivers, number 3, Andrew Luck, number 2, Peyton Manning, and number 1 this week, Drew the Man Brees. You got to love the Saints this week if you're in a survivor thing such as myself, and I haven't pulled the trigger yet. Let's face it, guys. I'm going to go with Drew Brees and the Saints this week. They're at home. They get Tampa Bay. While they kind of fumbled into a win against Pittsburgh last week, I'm going to chalk that up to just good old-fashioned good fortune, because I don't believe, and as a diehard Bear fan, you all know this to be fact, as a diehard Bear fan, I have the biggest issue with Lovie Smith. I always have, and it goes back to 2006 when he had the Bears in the Super Bowl against the Colts, and everyone on that roster knew that Brian Griese was the reason, one of the reasons they were there. He was the man to lead that team into a championship, and Lovie hung on to his Rex as my quarterback garbage and cost the Bears a Super Bowl. It's only a shame because the writing was on the wall. It really was. And I don't think Rex Grossman would have cared whether it was him or Brian Griese. He would have had a Super Bowl ring right now. Anyway, that's just me venting. Anyway, those are your fantasy love for this week. Again, if you've got them, start them. If you don't, let's just hope you're not having to play them. I probably wouldn't want to see Big Ben going up against Jacksonville today. That could be bad. If I'm a Tampa Bay fan, I probably don't want to see Drew Brees at home today because they've had quite a bit of time. They've had some misfortune recently, finding ways to lose. New Orleans defense is just simply bad. I don't know that Mike Glennon and Tampa Bay has the chutzpah or can pull something big enough to pull a win out in New Orleans. So for my survival pick, it looks like the New Orleans Saints. I would not be surprised if Pittsburgh took care of Jacksonville. I just know that Jacksonville is not going to go 0-16. And after the way Pittsburgh laid an egg against Tampa Bay, I have no confidence in the Steelers in that regard. So that's it from there. In the meantime, let's see. So we've touched on your college football. We've touched on your fantasy football. We've touched on your Major League Baseball playoffs. Let's get some NBA love going. Let's see what we got to say about the NBA. The week that was. Melo's reviewing the Knicks roster. Cavs returns is not blah blah blah. That's nothing new. The mayor of Atlanta wants a new Hawks owner in by December 31st. That would be nice. Carmelo Anthony, I'm the most underrated superstar. That is probably very, very true. Wilt Chamberlain to appear on a stamp. And why is Kobe Bryant holding a piece of paper with his name on it? That is news to me. I'm not sure why that's news, but... we told you all earlier about a segment that we're going to try to do involving Dr. Nunu. And while that's going to be a lot of fun, it often hinges on what happens away from the arena. And so the most recent news about Michael Phelps and his DUI has a genuine – I mean, this is right in the wheelhouse here. Now we find out today that Michael Phelps is to attend a program. Tell you what. Let me see if I can get you guys to check this out. I'll be back with you in just a second. Apparently we cannot. All right, so much for that. All right, well, that's good. I love Prem Sarupa Pat from ESPN, but well, the feed's not consistent, so we'll move on beyond her. Yay, us. So who's going to win in the NBA this coming season? A lot of you Chicago fans think that with the healthy Derrick Rose and now Pau Gasol in the mix, that makes you the favorite. Well, I don't know if that's the case or not, because there's a little guy down there in Cleveland named LeBron James. He may have a say-so. A healthy Dwayne Wade, a healthy Chris Bosh may make a big-time difference in the outcomes for Miami down there. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I believe they'll probably go pretty deep. And what's going to happen with Brooklyn? Are they just an afterthought now with – yeah, the big three starting to kind of unravel slowly but surely. And what to become of the San Antonio Spurs? Did that team just now finally gotten too old to win again? Are they still the old, wily veterans who always can just simply find a way by slowing the game down and playing great half-court defense? All this is fun stuff, but for my money, I think I just sit back this year. I just enjoy the NBA season. I don't think I go gambling too much this year. I don't see much bang for the buck. Now, to the hockey. As you all know, I'm a Chicago Blackhawk fan. I don't apologize for that. This is what it is. I look forward to my Blackhawks. They've been chosen to be the NHL preseason number one candidate to win a championship. And I actually think based on pure circumstances of keeping the team together, playing together for another year, they actually have accomplished that. So I do like the Blackhawks to win the NHL again this year. We'll be having all kinds of fun playing their highlights throughout the season. That season gets started, I believe, October the 9th, somewhere on the road. Just for those of you Winter Classic fans, Winter Classic this year is going to be in Washington, and it is the Blackhawks and the Capitals from the Nationals Baseball Stadium here just off downtown in D.C. All right. Let's go. So let's look at the Michael Phelps situation. The Olympic swimming great Michael Phelps said Sunday he is taking some time away from swimming and will attend a program that will provide the help he needs to better understand himself after his arrest for driving under the influence in Baltimore last week. Phelps announced his intentions in a series of tweets Sunday. He is registered a .14. Okay, hang on. He registered a .14 on a breathalyzer test, and he was stopped on speeding violations last week. The second time he has been charged with a DUI in Maryland. Wow. Well, wow. Come on, Mike, man. That is the epitome of the come on moment. It sucks, but it is what it is. All right. Michael Phelps says, I recognize this is not my first lapse in judgment, and I'm extremely disappointed with myself, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'd love to tell Mike, who and what are you apologizing to and for? You know, you apologize to your mom, maybe. Your immediate family. Other than that, shut up, son. So you made a mistake. You'll get past it. You'll get through it. Do with the system the way you should and move on. All right? And you handle that. All right, so what do we need to touch on? Soccer? What's happening in soccer? Chelsea defeats Arsenal. Jose and Winger clash. Torres injured. Chelsea 2-0. Arsenal feud turns physical. Man U. 2-1 over Everton. Pacquiao opens account. Dr. Maria Deje should be mom. Great. Okay, that's way too much speculation, guys. That's getting way off the beaten path. All right. So those of you soccer fans, keep doing what you do. Keep loving it. Hopefully the thing gets easier, because the easier it gets, the more it is to broadcast on a random basis. And then it's just kind of go ham on you guys. All right. Where are we at? We are at 27 before the ride. I think it's time to have, it may be time to have some fun. All right, so we're going to do some things, and then we're going to get through our news of the weird, and we'll go from there, all right? So if you will take a second, grab your drink, your juice, your breakfast, whatever you're doing. If you haven't set your fantasy roster, go ahead and set it now. If you haven't made your survival pick, you're truly going to go with the New Orleans Saints. Am I nervous? Abso-freaking-lutely, all right? We'll have more for you in a couple of minutes. Talk to you shortly. Back on the Ride. You like that? That is from the NFL Network, the intro there. We got some other fun things to play and do with you. All this and more on the Fastest 6 Minutes in Sports. Back in a second.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
One heartbeat!
One heartbeat!
One mind!
One mind!
One spirit!
One spirit!
Hola, hola,
hola,
hola,
hola,
hola,
hola.
All we got is each other.
Yeah.
And that's all we need.
Yeah.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial. The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of a grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring a quarterback.
Round right, Fox 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action. There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Oh, that's it? That's what you're bringing today, bro? Come on, man.
We got to come out here with a swag, man, and play cocky, man, for 4 quarters.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain? Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
We get the ball back, we go down and score, we win this game.
29. Did you just miss the ball? Come on, son, it's the NFL now.
We're doing the same thing. Take the lead, ding, ding.
Take the pressure on the right, let's go.
But I'm going to tell you what, we got a pretty good football team in this room in case nobody knows.
Keep your eyes working for the pressure now.
Hey, bring this lock up.
Time to work, man. Time to work. Time to work now.
That's how you play football. Yes.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
All right, Legend. That said, Vinny Moore proudly presents News of the Weird. All right, here we go. Been perusing to find something that would at least make you put a smile on your face, maybe make you giggle, and that has been hard to find. There's been a lot of weird, but nothing really comical, so. All right, well, let's just try this one. Let me apologize ahead of time in case this one isn't as entertaining as it may look like on the surface. It is called This Is Why Your Voice Sounds So Freaking Weird to You. Okay? Just take that in for a minute. Easy does it. Easy does it. All right? Have you ever listened to record your own voice and thought, whoa, do I really sound like that? Well, it's time to face the music. You really do. As it turns out, there's a simple explanation for why your voice sounds so different, likely higher, to you than to other people. Check it out in the latest episode from YouTube series SciShow in the video that you can find on the page at thehuffingtonpost.com. When you hear your own voice as you talk, you really are hearing a couple of different things at once. Hank Green, host of the series, says in the video, "You're hearing the sounds that's coming from your mouth, but you're also hearing the sound bouncing from the inside of your own head, which is conducted by your flesh and bones directly to your inner ear. That fleshy stuff, according to the Green, is better at transmitting low frequencies than high ones, which makes you think your voice sounds lower than it does to other people." Ladies and gentlemen, now you know. That's the weird. That's it? That's it. Remind me to flog you later. All right. By the way, if you scale down, you'll see some really quirky pictures of people who need to get their teeth fixed or look really heinous until they did get their teeth fixed, like Tom Cruise, Kim Kardashian, and so on and so forth. If that's your kind of thing, that you're into that. Let's see. There's an article that Jennifer Lopez shows her wild side in a daring zebra print dress. Nick Jonas responds to his claims that he's baiting gay guys with his abs. Wow. George Clooney and Amai Alamuddin's Vanity Fair Italy cover is breathtaking. All right. 1,000 veterans line up for free marijuana. All of this and more as life goes on in this thing we call the world. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your news of the weird. So welcome. Fifteen left in the ride. There's a splash that obviously this is coming from Huffington Post. It says, "How do you know the moon is going broke?" And there's this really cute picture of a cat with glasses on. And the cat responds, "It's down to its last quarter." Okay, that's just really... Hopefully that wasn't too cheesy of a bad joke. Let's just hope not. All right, so you've got your baseball love. You've got your story on Michael Phelps' drinking issues. Can we get Prim's her coverage on that? We might be able to get that still. We've got some time. We've got 14 left in the ride. You've got your Major League Baseball love. You saw the shocks in college football again. For those of you concerned in college football, you're going to have a whole new look at that top four as we get ready for this playoff push now. Only 5 weeks in, number one is still there, Florida State. Number two, three, and four have all lost this weekend. Hail Mary Burns, number 16, USC. I don't know. I guess my own personal hope, I'd hope that number six Texas A&M would have been able to run the table because I think they would have been fun. Kenny Hill is kind of my guy. I've kind of just adopted him as my go-to guy. But it will be nice to see something like a Baylor, which has got to make RG3 happy if they can get a sniff of the top four. But Oklahoma got beat by a TCU team that was ranked 25th. So that's a ranking. That may not be as bad for Oklahoma's potential outcome. Mississippi, a number 11 seed, beats number three Alabama, 23-17. I didn't see the game, but I'm left to believe it had to be a hotly contested game. It's only a six-point spread, so Alabama may not take a big slam for that loss. They may fall. Maybe they fall to six. So if you project this out, how far does a 31-24 losing Oregon squad fall in the grand scheme of things? Do they fall to a five or six? Maybe they do. Texas A&M is going to fall. So if you slot two down to six, you take Alabama, who lost by six to a Mississippi team, a ranked Mississippi team, maybe they fall to five. They don't fall far. The four, the Oklahoma seed, losing to 25 number TCU, they maybe fall six, seven, maybe at that, and you'll see a couple of guys just kind of jump up. I think the biggest benefactor of all this is Auburn with the drubbing they put on LSU at 41-7. Auburn has a chance to move all the way up to number two. I could see that. If Auburn is two, then who gets the number three seed? Does a Baylor, which was a number seven, slot up in there? I don't think they go that far. But if that's the case, then you're talking about moving Alabama at all. Alabama may just stay at number three even after the loss. UCLA, the number eight seed, lost. Does Notre Dame find its way just by pure attrition into the top five? All of this is possible. 12 minutes left in the ride. We're going to try to do this. We're going to be very cautious with how we do it. We're going to try to play Prim Sarupa's coverage of Michael Phelps' issue with his – I guess we're not. We're not. We don't – that feed is far from strong enough to handle and give us what we need. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. All right. For those of you interested in what's going on with Michael Phelps, he's been arrested for driving under the influence. He's going to be entering a program of some sort. You can find all the information on ESPN. Now, let's talk survival football for a minute and your picks and our picks for this week. Yes, the picks. And you've been waiting all week. You've been waiting for a long time. Yes, you've been waiting for a very long time. I'd love to give you some boys are back in town, but I mean, that sounded that good. So in the meantime, let's see if we can't get you your Venn picks for week 5 of the National Football League and why we feel the way we feel. And not that you care. You just want your winners. You want to go to the window and make a little change today. Well, guess what? We want to see if we can't help you make some of that change. All right, maybe you'll send us a check. Or maybe not. You know, we'll see. Either way it goes, we're going to have fun doing what it is we do. All right, let's see. Where the heck did we send this to? We sent it somewhere. We know we did this. We thought we were intelligent. Here we go. Week 5 National Football League picks from me and me only. I'm downloading my own document. This is always fun. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Let me do that. Let me give me some background music while I do this. And I'll just turn it down. NFL next. Yeah, we'll do the NFL intro. There we go. So we'll see if we can do the end of these picks. Oh, are you serious? We can't open it here. All right. Not a problem. Do it here. This is where I tell you how much I love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it because I appreciate you hanging on everything I say. I got a brand new a relatively new laptop that doesn't have all the software that it needs in it for me to do what I need to do. So guess what I can't do? I can't pull up the file. Not that anyway, but we can't pull it up here. All right. So if you're bearing with me, I'm going to tell you right now that we're nearing the introduction to a new segment we're going to be having in the next few weeks with Dr. Vicky Nunu. Talking about beyond the game, much more well outside the scope of just the sports themselves. I mean, we know we love to talk about football. We love to talk about a bunch of things. But the reality is there's life outside of the game of football. And then uniquely, these things, even though they are heroes, they impact us. And largely, a lot of times we find out these guys are just human, just like we are. All right. I don't want to do it. Let's do this one more time. Let's start it over. We'll start it over, and then we'll get into your picks for you because we want you to really, truly – enjoy this. I don't think there's too much that's going to shock you, but you can never be too sure, right? All right, so let's stop the track. All right. Take a deep breath. Got the two. There's 9 minutes. 9 minutes left in the ride. Let's ride. These are your event picks for week 5, 2014. Here we go. As you already know, Green Bay took its whooping stick out on Minnesota on Thursday night. Bridgewater did not play in the game. Green Bay just rolled 42-10. The other games we look at closely, as you know, we're Bears fans. Carolina looked so good the first couple of weeks, but then fizzled in spectacular defenses, yielding the most rushing yards per attempt, 5.7, which is played right into the Bears' game plan. Running back Matt Forte ran for 122 yards against Green Bay and could be on track for another big game. The pick, the Bears, 2.5. The probable pick, Bears, 60.5%. Go with the Bears in that game. The Ravens and the Colts. Andrew Luck has thrown 8 touchdown passes, an average of 381.5 yards passing per game over the past 2 weeks. It could continue against Baltimore's pass coverage, which ranks 25th by Pro Football Focus. The pick, the Colts, -3.5. Probability of winning the game, the Indianapolis Colts. Down in Texas, the Texans and the Cowboys. Cowboys running back DeMarco Murray is the NFL's leading rusher with 534 yards. Is going against a defense that has trouble stopping the run, giving up 5 yards a carry. The one player that can keep things close for Houston is J.J. Watt, who has made 7 stops against the run and leads all 3-4 defenses in the amount of times opposing quarterbacks whenever they need a pressure. In fact, he's got 2 more than the next 2 best players combined. The pick, you may be shocked by this, the pick by the opponents is the Texans plus the 5.5 against the spread. However, the winning probability rests with the Dallas Cowboys. If you're just picking them, you're taking the Dallas Cowboys. the Buffalo Bills, a 7-point underdog against the Detroit Lions. I'm going to save you some time and some effort, all right? Just take the Lions. The Buffalo Bills plus the 7 points if you're against the spread, but the Lions should win this game, and over 70% of experts believe they will. The Steelers, a 6.5-point favorite to the Jacksonville Jaguars. At some point, it's going to make sense to pick Jacksonville to win a game, but it won't be today. Projection is Pittsburgh's winning by almost 2 touchdowns, and the Jags don't have an answer for either Le'Veon Bell or LeGarrette Blount, who are averaging 2.9 and 5.7 yards per carry after contact, respectively. Take the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers laying 10 against the Saints. This is a good bounce-back game for New Orleans, which really does not have an elite offense. I'm sorry, let me take that back. They do have an elite offense. Their problem is on defense. They rank in the top 5 in total yards, first downs, passing yards, rushing yards per attempt, plays per drive, yards per drive, and points per drive. The pick, the New Orleans Saints. 71% have got the same thing. The Atlanta Falcons at the New York Giants. Eli Manning has this offense running now on all cylinders. He has back-to-back weeks where he's completed more than 70% of his passes, and the running game has gone for 2.7 yards per attempt during the first weeks to 4.3 in the past two. The pick, the New York Giants, then the 4. Winning probability, 55.7%. Opponents say it is the New York Giants. The Cleveland Browns, plus 1.5 at the Tennessee Titans. The Browns are much better than their record, and this could be the game where some people start to take notice. The Titans struggle on offense, 1.3 points per drive, 30th out of 32 teams, and will have to rely heavily on defensive end Jarrell Casey and outside linebacker Derek Morgan to generate the pass rush. Morgan, however, has struggled and hasn't put pressure on the opposing quarterback in 2 weeks despite spending limited time in coverage. The pick, the Cleveland Browns. Winning probability, the Cleveland Browns, 56.9%, loving the Cleveland Browns in this game. The St. Louis Rams, a 7-point dog to the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles offense did put up a score on the board last week, and the key for repeat will be for the Rams to keep the pressure on Nick Foles. That's where the Rams defensive end Robert Quinn comes in. He does have a sack this season, but has put pressure on the opposing quarterback, 4 hits and four hurries in 55 pass snaps. Unfortunately for St. Louis, they don't have much firepower beyond that. The pick, the Philadelphia Eagles. Probability, 67.5% of pundits have got the Philadelphia Football Eagles. Arizona, a 7-point dog to the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning can carve up any defense, especially one that allows 6.6 per drive to his opponents. And while Denver isn't as prolific as it was a year ago, with Manning under center, the Broncos are still moving the chains for a first down almost 40% of the time. The league average is 30%. If Broncos have extra plays to work with, this could be a blowout. The pick, the Denver Broncos. Winning probability, 74.2% of pundits. Those who geeks, people in the know, say you're taking the Denver Broncos. I am going to give you a shock here. I really am. I'm going to give you a shock. And it's not a shock to shock you like into reality, but do not be surprised if Arizona shows up for that game. All right? Do not. Okay? Do not be surprised. Let's continue. The New York Jets, a 6.5-point dog at San Diego. Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers is playing at an MVP caliber level, and the Jets have no answer for that right now. Their two main cornerbacks, Darren Walls and Antonio Allen, have allowed 119.4 and 94.8 passer ratings against them, respectively. The pick, the San Diego Chargers. Probably winning 64.6, rests with the San Diego Chargers. The Kansas City Chiefs, a 6-point dog to the 49ers after the beatdown they gave New England last Monday night. The Chiefs bring a dominant rushing attack to Levi Stadium in the form of Jamaal Charles and the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. But the 49ers have done well against the run, just 3.5 rushing yards allowed per carry. Expect Patrick Willis and Michael Wilhoit to go on the inside. Those linebackers to get a lot of work this week, as each will have to deal with at least 6 to 12 run stops apiece. The pick, Kansas City, if you're getting the points, plus 6. To win the game, the Niners, 53.2 people have the Niners winning this game. I do like the Chiefs to cover that, though. Cincinnati, a 1-point favorite at New England. The game charters of Pro Football Focus have the Patriots rated as the worst pass defense, so bet on the Bengals defensive end, Wallace Gilberry and Carlos Dunlap, to harass Tom Brady and maybe Jimmy Garoppolo all game. Cincinnati is the pick, getting the 1 point. Probability of Cincinnati to win the game, 64.3%. And then Monday night, the Seattle Seahawks, a 7-point favorite over the Washington Redskins. So far this season, Kirk Cousins is averaging 7.3 adjusted yards per passing attempt. which rewards passes for scoring them with a multiplier on touchdowns and punishes the passer on throwing interceptions. In the past 2 years, Seattle has allowed at least that many only twice when they have been on the road. Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck. Cousins, neither of those, so expect the losing skid to continue for the Redskins. Seattle, give the points, take the win probability. The Seattle Seahawks, 63%. That is against the spread. Wow. All right, these picks are courtesy of the experts at the fastest experience in sports and are solely the opinions of the reporters and not to be held against us because, people, it's opinion. It's just an opinion. Other than that, have yourself a great Sunday. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the football on Monday. Take care of yourselves. And these picks will see you again next week. All right. Did you get your fill there? Did you get your fill? You got a minute and a half to go. All right, we're going to table some things. We have run out of time. Well, you know what? I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Next week on the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports, more, of course, with the NFL, more updates on Major League Baseball, more of the topsy-turvy world that is college football, a first block segment for the Dr. Vicky Nunu section, segment on where are they now or what's going on. We'll continue to redefine that. But the reality is we love you. We appreciate you. Write this number down, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We will see you next week, next time, only right here on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. My name is Vinny Moore. Enjoy the football, people. Good luck today. We'll see you next time. Take care.